All right. Good morning, church. Praise the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. And I tell you, I am just thankful to be in God's house again this morning. I want to tell you something. You know, it's been mentioned already, and I don't want to go too much into it, because I know Jamie's going to do like a little sermon on a recap tonight on this Awakening Week. But they mentioned the cardboard testimonies. But I want to lay something out there for you, folks. There was a lady up there, I believe it was a lady the other day, she had had cancer, and she had on her cardboard sign, she had cancer 5 years ago, I believe she didn't have long to live, I mean it was really bad. Then she flipped the cardboard over and she said she'd been cancer free for 5 years. Amen. Do not give up hope. Amen. Do not. We serve an awesome healing God. That's who we serve. And you know, brothers and sisters, that's what we believe. And that's what we will believe. You know what? We're going to believe that God is able to heal. We're going to believe that God is able to do all manner of things. We're going to put it in His hands, and we're going to believe Him. We're going to trust Him for what He can do. Because when we start trusting in ourselves, you might as well shut this book up and go out that door. Because we got to trust in what He can do, not what we can do in our own power. Praise the Lord this morning. You know, I'm going to preach a sermon this morning, and I want you just to bear with me. We're going to be over in Genesis, the 15th chapter. And it's going to go along with what I started out with here this morning, but I want you to understand something this morning. I don't want anybody to be satisfied with Ishmael. And you're going to get the gist of this in a little bit. We're not going to be satisfied with Ishmael. I want you to understand that this morning. And we'll get to it here in just a little bit. But Genesis 15, we're going to read the third verse down through the sixth verse. When you get there, please, in honor of God's word, stand with me this morning if you're able. Genesis 15, 3 through 6. And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and looked now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." Let us pray. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, Father, we come with thanksgiving in our heart again. Lord, I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would just open up our hearts again. Open up our minds, Lord. Anoint my lips here this morning, that, Father, we may be able, Father, to grasp your word and to take it into our hearts and into our souls, Lord, and help it, Lord, to be given to us, and that we could eat it up and chew it up, Lord. And Father, let it settle within our hearts and souls. And Father, we will give you the praise, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. One thing, as we look at this chapter this morning, we find God is repeating His promise to Abram, right? And we know who Abram is. If he didn't doubt, God changed him later. It's going to be Abraham. We understand that. But right now, and how many of us from time to time need reaffirming in our lives? How about you this morning? I'm going to tell you what, here's a preacher standing up here this morning. I praise God this past week that I can thank God that He has reaffirmed in my life. And Lord, I heard a preacher say this. Maybe he said it in this week. He said, "I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you as your preacher this morning. There's been many a Monday morning I told myself I don't want to preach anymore. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm being just as honest as I could be with you because I feel like I'm just not worthy. I feel like I just don't do a good enough job. You know how you would say all manner of things, but I'm telling you, there had been many a Monday morning that I have left this church the next morning and said that to myself. But God has reaffirmed time after time after time after time that I am doing what He wants me to do, and I praise God for that this morning. I'm not here to judge anybody here this morning. I'm not here to, but what I am here to do this morning, what I want to do is to encourage everybody that made their way out here this morning. I want to encourage you. I don't intend to judge you here this morning. We can all go through dry spells as Christians. Can I get an amen? There's not a one of us in here that has not went through a dry spell in your life from time to time while being a Christian. I have, and I believe that there's been a lot of people in this church could say amen to that as well. And we need to feel the reaffirming touch of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to feel that from time to time. We need to feel that the Holy Spirit is reaffirming things in our life and hear Christ promise to every Christian, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Can you believe that here this morning? Can you give me an amen? Can you praise the Lord this morning for that? He is with us. He's with us no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing. God is with you this morning. Praise His name. God repeats His promise to Abram. He, not just for a large piece of land, but he goes on to tell him, he said, listen, but the promise of a son to come through his own loins. And he makes a pact and he makes a covenant with Abram. And he seals his covenant. We find in chapter 15, God does this. God telling Abram to make a sacrifice. And somebody taught about that here. Well, I don't know if it's Ken or Greg, whoever it was, they taught about this. But this is so important to remember here this morning. And to seal the covenant, we find in chapter God telling Abram to make a sacrifice of a heifer, of a goat, of a ram, of a turtle dove, and of a pigeon. He tells him to make those things. And I believe what I believe he tells him, what he said, we're going to set these things. He cuts the larger ones in pieces, but he lays the birds down, and they're all right there. And what's supposed to happen, they're supposed to grab hands and you're supposed to walk through the sacrifice like this and you're supposed to say, repeat the covenant that's going to happen. And what that means is, praise His name, if you do not keep your end of that covenant right there, He said, may you be torn in pieces just like those things are. Praise His name this morning. I'm here to tell you, praise God. Listen to me. We make a covenant with the Lord. When we make that covenant, brother said, it's better not to make a covenant than not to try to keep one day. They would walk in their bodies and be torn apart. Pretty serious stuff, right? Very serious. It's very serious. Ecclesiastic 5:5. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. That's pretty serious if you're asking me. Very serious. Abram and God made a covenant. If you remember right, Abram got so tired he fell asleep. He didn't even, God's the one that went ahead and walked through there by himself. But he still made that covenant with Abram. May I say this morning, God is always faithful with what He's on His end of the bargain. I'm going to tell you what, the problem's not with God. If something happens, the problem's with us. The problem was with us if there's an issue. When we find out that after Abram laid out the sacrifice, guess what came to call? Buzzards came to eat the carcasses, right? It said the fowl. But the Bible tells us that Abram drove them away. Can I tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand, if you decide to go in for serving God, the enemy will be attacked. The enemy will attack you. Be prepared, the buzzards are coming. The buzzards are coming. I don't know what's going on. I know a little bit of what's going on in people's lives here this morning, but I'm telling you, if you decide to step out and try to serve God and try to do everything you can to be what you need to be for the Lord, the buzzards are coming. They're coming. Awakening week just happened and it was awesome. But I'm here to tell you, I can guarantee you, the folks that had attended that this week, they're going to get up either today or they're going to get up tomorrow, and the buzzards are coming. Because the devil doesn't like it. He doesn't like it whatsoever. And I'm here to tell you something else. The Bible says that the just shall live by what? Faith. But can I get a witness here this morning? There are times that's easier said than done. Can I get a witness this morning? It is easier said than done. Yes, We are supposed to live by faith. We're supposed to walk by faith. But I can tell you, this preacher at times in his life, it has been hard sometimes to do that. But praise God, when it's all said and done, it's been worth everything about it. When you make a commitment, when you make a promise to God, when you resolve in your spirit that you want to grow, I'm telling you, the emotional tax will come, the physical tax will come, and the spiritual tax will come. They are going to come. The buzzards are going to come after you. And I'm telling you to expect the buzzards will come and they will try to gloat over your dead carcass if they could. But I'm here to tell you this morning, praise God, we don't have to let them do that. He comes and he tells you, I told you so. There'll be buzzards will come and say, I told you so. There's just no way. There's just no way. How many? I've had that happen to me so many times where I've been in, and the buzzards would come and say, but see, I told you so. I told you that wouldn't happen. Like my wife said Monday night, she said, Dave, she told me this. She said, Dave, don't you think we should put out chairs before she went to you? I said, oh, I don't know. We're going to have a big crowd here. Oh, ye of little faith. Praise the Lord. When you step out by faith, the first buzzard that will show up, the buzzard of human reasoning and human logic. I'm going to tell you guys something. Human reasoning and human logic is okay to a certain point. But when it comes to doing the work of God, you better let that stay aside. Because it don't always happen that way. It don't always have our human logic and our human, all that kind of stuff that we want to throw in on top of it. I'm here to tell you this morning, that may be fine and good, but praise His name. Why? Because God is going to stir your heart, and and you're stepping out on faith, and you're doing that, and whenever you step out there, I'm here to tell you, that old buzzer's going to come, and he's going to tell you, he said, what did you just commit to? What are you thinking about doing? You mean to tell me that you're really going to step out to try to preach? How are you going to take care of your family? How are you going to do this? I'm going to tell you, there's been many a Sunday, whenever, and anybody that's ever preached can tell you this, and you're trying to study, maybe you've got two sermons to do that day, and you're trying to study, guess who suffers? Your family will suffer. Your family will, lady, you as a preacher's wife, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Your family can suffer, but praise God, you know what? You've got to put your trust in the one who give you the goal to go ahead and do it in the first place. Human logic. Man, I'll tell you what, what am I going to do? I can't do this, I can't do that. No, I can't, my own power. Human logic will tell you that. Human logic will tell you, you know what? You've got to take care of your family first. Human logic will tell you that. Knowing first half that God called me to be a preacher, and that being called to be a preacher, being called to be a minister, it goes way beyond all this stuff sometimes. You should have thought this thing through a little better. You know, Jamie, you know how many times I have said that to myself? You should have thought this thing through a little better, Dave. You should have thought it out a little better. You should have put a little bit more into it. Because after you step out on faith to do God's work, I guarantee you that buzzard will show up. He'll settle on your fence out there, and he'll try to make things out like it's worse than what it is sometimes. But I'm here to tell you, it is. The buzzard of you're not good enough will set in. Been there. Been there. That buzzard of you're not good enough. I'm not good enough to do anything. I'm not good enough to be a preacher. I'm not good enough to do this. I'm not good enough to do God's work. But you know what I've come to find out? In myself, I will never be good enough. And in yourself, you will never be good enough. But praise His name, if you put your trust in Him, I'm telling you, you don't have to worry about being good enough. You just mind Him and let Him do it. It's one to pick at your carcass. You don't know how many times I did that. You don't know that there is what calms you down can be found in Genesis 15:1. I just backed up and the Lord showed me this. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto him. Come unto Abram. Then he's saying this first because he just went through a big battle. And Abram's, I have all these doubts in his mind. And God's telling him, he said, and the word of the Lord came to thee. It came. You see, when you're getting attacked by the buzzards, you know the best thing to beat them off with, Ken, is the Bible. Is the word of God. That's the best thing to whip a buzzard with. That's the best thing that you can see when you're getting attacked. And start beating the buzzards away. I'm here to tell you, beat them senseless if you have to. Thank God for the word. Scriptures like Deuteronomy 28:7. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. And they shall come out against thee one way. But you know what it says? And flee before thee seven ways. You put your trust in God, and I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, when the enemies, when those buzzards come against you, God is able, more than able, to take care of what's coming against you. Or James 4:7, and we all know these scriptures. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. What's he going to do? He's going to flee from you. How many times have you had the devil flee from you when he's trying to tell you all manner of things come against you? And you know what? You take the word of God, you get on your knees in prayer, and you take the word of God, and I'm here to tell you, the devil doesn't like that. He'll flee. He doesn't want to be any part of it. I have found that just the time that I'm under attack, I have found this, just that time, or some kind of problem, the fear starts to overwhelm me, the Lord sends a scripture. He'll send a scripture to me, to give it to me, to give me that peace, to fight off that buzzard with. And I start to beat those buzzards around. And I really do. And I thank God for that. Back up to Genesis 15:1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I know things can get pretty terrible. Things can get pretty frightening in people's lives. I know that. I understand that. And I know it looks like that, and to Abram, it looked like that God wasn't even keeping his promise. If you go back to chapter 12 here, God made that promise to him back then. Do you realize that right to this point, I believe that Abram was like 85 or 89 years old at this point, and I think that his wife was like 79 or something like that, whenever this promise right here might have got it back. I'll find it out here in a little bit. But they were way up in years. They were there, and the promise had been made a long time ago. And Abram remembered this. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield. It's what he told him. Folks, why is it that people today, why is it that they have so much more than their grandfathers and great-grandfathers had? Why is this? And had ever dreamed of having? I mean, I honestly, I look back at what my grandfather and my grandmother had and what they were raised with, and I think today how much more that I am blessed with in knowledge, not just financially, but just a lot of different things. And for the most part, people today are more fearful, they're more unhappier, and they're generally more miserable than ever before. And you say, how do you know that, Dave? Because statistics will tell you that they are. That people have been asked. And the more that they have, the unhappier they are and the more miserable they are. I heard this article here back, I don't know, it was about people that win the lottery and how unmiserable those people are after they win millions of dollars. And I've heard people at work say this, well, you mean, let me try that. These people that win these big bunch of money are some of the most miserable people in the world and unhappy people. And of course, this falls in the laps of some Christians as well. Remember, Christians, when the buzzards of fear lands just outside your door, remember this? Just like God told Abram, fear not, for I am thy shield. Amen. I'm the one that you put your trust in. I'm the one that you can trust. Not anybody out here in the world, not this people, but you can trust me. We need to remind ourselves of the promise, of this promise here in 2022, do we not? We need to remember this promise that he is our shield. How many nights have you laid your heads down on a comfortable mattress and a comfortable pillow, room temperature just right, nothing going on physically, kids all sound asleep in the house if you have kids, no dogs or no animals barking, but you just couldn't sleep. Has anybody ever been there? Been there. It's not a thing. Not a thing to make it uncomfortable in that bedroom. Not a thing. But I've laid there with my mind just going, and those buzzards just coming after me, and those buzzards just coming after me. Brothers and sisters, because your poor mind just won't let you sleep. Been there, I've done that. But after it's all said and done, Greg, after it's all been said and done, the things that I were worrying about the next day or two, was nothing to worry about whatsoever. It's been there. I've been there. I've let my mind just race. How many times? Fear not. I am thy shield. Fear not. He is our shield. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Listen, I know. I know. People have told me, said, I'm really afraid. And I understand that. I do understand that because I've been there. I know what it's like. I know what it was like to have my son facing open heart surgery whenever he was 2 and 3 years old, and twice within a certain amount of time. I know what it's like to have that fear upon my life, not knowing. I've said this before. One of the most fearful times in my life was the time that he had to have surgery. And we had to carry him to the doctor and hand him to the doctor. They didn't take him on a gurney. We carried him and gave him to that doctor, and that doctor, took him back into the surgery room. That fear just comes over you, and I know that. But praise God, he took care of that. Look at what else he told Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Praise God. Now remember, Abram was 85 and his wife Sarah was 75. As we read this scripture here this morning, that's what they were. It had been 25 to 30 years before the first promise was given. How impatient are some of us? Huh? How impatient are some of us? Because we live in a microwave society, a fast food society, where we want everything now, where we want everything right this moment, where we want God to answer right this very minute. We want all this stuff to happen. This was 25, 30 years. And God had told him, he said, you're still going to get your heir. You're going to get it. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Could you see the buzzard circling around Abraham? Could you see that? I can. 25 to 30 years later, and the promise still hasn't been. And we know one buzzard got through, and I'll get to that here in just a little bit. We know that. Could you see the buzzard of doubt circling over him? I can see it. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? But there comes the word of God again. Here comes the word of God to beat off the buzzard for a little bit longer. Folks, listen up. Step out on faith. God is faithful. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man shall abound. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. He said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Can you just see God having Abraham go out, look up in the stars? He said, Abraham, start counting them. Well, he might have got up to, if you're like me, he probably got about to 50 and he lost count probably. But Abraham's there counting. I don't know how high he got. That didn't even count. That didn't even touch it. Praise God. That's what he was trying to tell him. Yep, 85 and 75-year-old husband and wife. And listen, and the Bible says Abram believed in the Lord, and he counted it unto him for righteousness. But guess what? It would be 15 years more before they had that heir. 15 years more. Abraham would have been about 99. And I think that Sarah would have been up in her late 80s before she even got pregnant. And then another year, Abraham would have been over 100 years old when the baby was born. Oh, man. And you can step back and you say, well, I don't know if I believe that. I believe it. I'm going to tell you why I believe it here in just a little bit. Another point here is this: it really matters who you put your trust in, number one. It really matters. Another, you know, Abram believed the Lord. That's who he believed. He believed him. Now, if your son or daughter, Greg, I'm going to use you a lot this morning, but I'm just going to tell you because I'm going to use you. If Dalton were to come to you whenever he's 8 years old and told you, Greg, I'm going to buy you a brand new four-wheel drive truck with all the stuff. I'm also going to buy you a Lamborghini, whatever else you wanted. How much faith did you put in Dalton at that time? He probably didn't even have an income at that time. That's right. My Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I put my trust in the one that deserves my trust. I'm not going to put my trust in my son, telling me that he's going to buy me this or that. You know what? That could happen. That may never happen. But praise God, if God writes it down, I'm telling you this morning, it's going to happen. Praise his name this morning, because, listen, when God of heaven and earth makes you a promise, you can take it to the bank. The 50th Psalm says this, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Know all the fowls of the mountain and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. I think it covers pretty much everything. God owns it all. And if I can believe anybody, I'll believe him this morning. I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. He is going to supply every need that we have. Now, we convolute that sometimes, and we want to make it out what we more than what our needs are. But God has promised us he will meet every need. And I'm here to tell you, I want to stand witness to that this morning. He has met every need in my life. It really matters who you put your trust in. It really matters who you put your trust in. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Don't put your trust in me. Don't put your trust in any other man. Don't put your trust in any other man. I'm here to tell you this morning, put your trust in the one that deserves your trust, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 12 of chapter 15. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. Abram had a sense of dread, of darkness. He had a sense of heaviness that overcome him. Folks, one of the worst buzzards to circle over us can be this one. Because, folks, we can have that dread. We can have that heaviness. We can have all that stuff that will try to come to lay over top of every one of us at times. It'll do that. Folks, I'm telling you, none of us are super Christians. I'm not a super Christian. I know none of you are super Christians this morning. I know that. And you say, well, Dave, how do you know that? Because I know. We are human beings in human flesh. None of us are super Christians here this morning. I'll venture to say that. And dread and darkness that sometimes in our life has overcome us. It has overcome us. If you're looking at an average, you're looking at an average, ordinary Christian standing up here before you. That's what I am. Now you can say, well, you're my pastor. I'm your pastor, but I'm a Christian. And I was a Christian before I was your pastor. And I'm still an ordinary, plain Christian this morning that faces the same issues that you guys face each and every day of your life. And believe you me, I understand when fear and dread comes upon you. I understand it because it has attacked me. As a matter of fact, I'm probably less a Christian than most of you that are in here this morning, if I'm quite honest with myself. But just be quite honest with you. Who has faced these type of buzzards before in my life? I've faced them. Dread, darkness, and heaviness. And I've had to beat them off through prayer and fasting and word. I'm going to tell you something. I say this all the time, but I hope you get this. Some things are only defeated through prayer and fasting. I want you to understand that this morning. Sometimes we don't catch the fasting part. Some things are only defeated through prayer and fasting. And there's a reason for that. You don't have to tell me you're fasting. Matter of fact, you're not supposed to tell me when you fast. Right? You're not to. But I'm just here to give you, I'm giving you some advice this morning. Giving you some hope. There are some things that will not be taken care of unless just through prayer and fasting. Amen. Listen, and I may say this this morning. God has been faithful through all that. He's been through all that. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. God kept his promise. Can I tell you, he's going to keep his promise today for you today as well. How many of you here this morning knows God's faithful, even when you're not? I hope all hands went up. There have been times I've not been faithful, but God's been faithful. Oh, yes. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, yet he, abideth, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. He can't. He's going to remain faithful. He's going to remain faithful even if you aren't. Even after all this, it would be another 15 years, like I said, before that promise would be fulfilled. And other buzzards attacked Abram. And actually, one of them was successful. We know that. We all know the story of Ishmael, right? We all know what happened and that Abram and them they weren't patient. This buzzard of impatience come upon them. And he took the maidservant of Sarah, and they had a child, which was Ishmael. And this buzzard of impatience is that impatient buzzard was not only costing Israel back then, it's costing them today, and it's costing the world today. We know that. We know that. Why? Because the Muslims, who are descendants of Ishmael, that's who they are, cause a lot of issues in the world today. Absolutely. Folks, impatience can cause a lot of issues in your life. Can cause a lot of issues in your life. I've come to find out being impatient has caused a bunch of issues in my life. And brothers, I'm telling you what, they can do that. Absolutely, it can do that. I've seen it happen. Have you and I become satisfied with just Ishmael's? That's a question I wrote down. Have we just become satisfied? You're saying what? We try to do everything within our own powers, within our own works. We try to do all that stuff within our own selves. And you know what that does? All that does is birth an Ishmael. That's all it does. It's because, see, Abram and them try to do it on their own. They try to make this heir, and God said, that ain't what he's going to be. I'll read that to you. We see that not what God had in store for Abram. That's not what he had. It had to do something supernatural. It was a supernatural work, and God had wanting to work in Abram's life. But God, he wanted to do it on his own. Abram did not even realize that God had quit speaking to him for 13 years. Did you know that? How old was Ishmael? Ishmael was 13 years old when he went into his handmaiden and he was born. God never spoke to Abraham in that time. Never spoke to Abram in that whole time frame. He didn't even realize God wasn't even talking to him. He didn't even realize it. Do you realize that church after church, denomination after denomination, Christian after Christian, have sometimes realized that God hadn't spoken to them for a long time because they're wanting to do stuff their own way. Because they have given birth to one Ishmael after another. Look at Genesis 17:8, if you would, please. Genesis 17:8. And Abram said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." You know what he's trying to say there? He's trying to tell God, "God, my hope is still in Ishmael. My hope is still in him. I want him to be my heir. I want him to do what..." Whenever God's telling people, listen to me, he may be telling you this morning, listen to me, don't keep hoping for Ishmael. I've got something better for you. I've got a better plan for you. Even after God had promised and made the covenant with him, Abraham said, "I know what's better." Oh my goodness, how many times have we said we know what's better? Man alive. Church after church, mega church after mega church, and many of them saying, "Look at what God has done." And can I tell you something? This is my opinion. This is what I believe. But I think I'm not too far off. They're trying to say, "Look what God has done." And God's saying, "Hold on there a minute. Hold on there a minute. I haven't even been invited into your service. Hold on a minute. I haven't been invited into your service." He said, "What are you talking about? You're not doing things the way that I want you to do them." They birthed Ishmaels, and their churches are big, and they're saying, "Look at what God has done," when God hasn't done nothing. They've done it in their own power. And I promised you so much more. He said, He told Abraham, and he's telling the church world today, I have promised you, and I will do so much more for you if you just believe. If you just believe. God was about ready to do a supernatural work in Abram's life, in Abraham's life. But he was settling for an Ishmael. That's what he was doing. God, I want you to show you just how much of a miracle this was whenever she was born. Whenever Isaac was born. Look at the verses with me. First off, look in Genesis 18. This is something God showed me. I want to show you just how much of a, even more of a miracle than what I even thought it was, how God worked this out. Genesis 18, 11, if you get there, say amen. Now, Abraham, he's changed his name now, and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And again, at this point, Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 89, at this point right here. Now, turn over to Genesis 20. I'm going to read the first two verses. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Sur and sojourned in Gerar. And then when Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister, Abimelech, king of the Gerar, sent and took Sarah. You want to know how much I think this is a miracle? How many 89-year-old women do you know of would be getting wolf calls and whistled at? And I'm not putting women, don't get me wrong, I'm not putting nobody down. You see what I'm saying? She was 89 years old. She had just traveled. They were traveling. But yet, when this king looked out, he seen her, and he still wanted her. You know what I think happened? I think God reversed her age. I think God reversed her. I think she looked, I believe God had not only did one thing, he had reversed her age and got her back to the point, man, she was looking good. I'm just here. This is just something that the Lord had showed me. Abraham was still this old guy walking around there. And he's saying, man, he said, listen, honey, you're my sister. you're way younger than me. There was no Botox back then. There was no Revitalize back then. There was no plastic surgery back then. But praise God. Do you see what happened here? And I know whenever God, remember when the angels come and Sarah laughed within herself? I can just hear Sarah, what are they talking about? I can barely make food to make supper. I can barely get around this table. And you're telling me that I'm going to have a baby? God made a way. He made a way. Praise His name this morning. I'm here to tell you, brother and sister, it's very obvious. Listen, it's very obvious. In Hebrews 11 through 12. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now listen to this. Therefore sprang there even of one and of him as good as dead. They were as good as dead when God put this upon them. They were that bad off whenever God laid this upon them. I'm here to tell you, God's miracle is bigger than what we thought it was. Praise His name this morning. And how about Romans 14:7 is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, calleth those things which be not as though they were. And he was talking about Abraham there. Folks, don't settle for Ishmael. God has got to work for you and me. I think God's got to work for the church. I told you this at the beginning of the year. I believe God has got to work for this church. And I believe we can't settle for Ishmael, brothers and sisters. One thing Tim said that the Lord really, really beat him up about, and this has been probably about a year ago, and he said to most of you there, maybe you heard him preach about this. He said he was in a service listening to his son-in-law preach. And he told me, he said, Dave, he said, I don't even remember what he preached, but he just told us one little thing. He said, it hit me. And he said, from the rest of that time on, he said, it just beat me up. He said, the Lord told him, I'm getting stale. I'm getting stale. And Tim got up in front of his church that morning, and he apologized to that church, to 14th Avenue. He told him, he said, listen, I want to apologize to this church. I've gotten stale. And God doesn't want me that way. Can I tell you something this morning? God don't want me stale. God doesn't want you stale. I mean, you know your hearts. You know where you were at spiritually. You know where you were at. You know where you're at. You know, this past 2 years has been hard on a lot of churches. This past 2 years has been hard on individuals. God doesn't want us stale. He wants us on fire for Him. Don't settle for an Ishmael when God can do some supernatural things in our lives. And I hope and pray this morning that you'll pray with me. But I want you to pray with me this morning that God will show us what direction He wants us to go. I got ideas, but I don't want my ideas to be part of anything. I want God's will to be done. Amen? Belinda, come get a song this morning, please. You can walk out of this church this morning and let the buzzards hound you all week long. And they will. If you let them, they'll hound you all week long. But God tells us in His Word, you don't have to live like that. I'm going to give you some scriptures while they're getting a song ready. Luke 18, 27, He said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Psalm 77, 14, "Thou art the God that doest wonders, the God who performs" what? "Miracles." Jeremiah 32, 27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Get a resounding, "There is nothing too hard for God." Young people, when you're choosing a mate, don't settle for Ishmael. Don't settle for Ishmael when you can have Isaac. Amen? When waiting on healing, be patient. God may have an Isaac in the wings. Amen. When looking for a job, and maybe you've got one right now, be patient. You may be in something you think's Ishmael right now. Maybe God's got Isaac for you down the road. He may have that. A job that won't take you from church every Sunday. Amen or amen. Absolutely. Brothers and sisters, we need to be in God's house as much as we can be there. Our God is the God of the supernatural. And can I tell you something? This week you may have to beat off a lot of buzzards. Grab the Word of God and start beating on them.